It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's 10:04 on a wonderful Thursday morning. My name is Steak. That's Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us. Yeah, it was a rough night for the Braves. 19 strikeouts, another lost series. You went on the road. Tampa beat you 2 out of 3. You won game one with
Grant Holmes.
With Grant Holmes and Spencer both get the L. You head home now to play the Twins over the weekend and then the Cardinals after that. Hawks big game tomorrow night. Heat culture. Ugh, enough already with the Heat culture. But they'll be rolling in town. They beat the Bulls. I heard Steve Holman earlier. We also heard Mike Johnson talking Braves. And now we turn our attention to the complicated world of the NIL portal and trying to figure out where kids are going or not going, and just a couple of other stories. So we'll call this our tailgate. Rusty Manziel joins us.
He'll be brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Rusty, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I hope you guys just saw the breaking news. ESPN announced that Lee Corso is officially retiring, and you talk about a career. You talk about somebody that made Saturday mornings different and special. He was fantastic. He was at the end. I think everybody understood that. But, man, what a career, Lee Corso. And just, he made Saturday mornings great.
Just had coffee with his son, Dan Corso, who does a phenomenal job. And I said, how's the fam feel? I think they were anxious maybe to get to say, you know, it may be time to wrap it up. But, you know, Dad wants to keep grinding away. I think everybody feels a sense of letting him go out the right way.
And letting him decide, because it was his decision.
Because I think the family, it was their decision. They probably would have said, you know what, you don't have to keep doing this. I imagine they will have, Rusty, one of the greatest tributes in television history. I don't know I don't know when they choose it. I don't know which location it will be, but it will be like nothing we have seen in sports television.
And guarantee Herb Street to be crying. And
oh, my God.
He did a lot. The relationship those two had, it was genuine, you could tell, and how patient he was with him. But you're right, Steak. It'll be great. It will have to be the first weekend. They'll have to do something. So be interested to see where they start the season off. You know, I think Alabama plays at Florida State. I think that's the opening game.
Who's Miami guys? Notre Dame?
I think that might be the second night.
Okay. No, but Alabama from Florida State, and Lee played at Florida State, and that's massive. That's going to exactly be where it is.
Where does he live now?
That would be the great one, man. He lives in Orlando. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thanks for mentioning that. So, Rusty, you and I have talked about this so much, and you're so close to all the SEC programs, but, you know, trying to manage how many guys in the portal right now, how long does this last for? And just your overall thoughts. You talk to so many parents. You're so close to all of this stuff. Just give us your own take. And give us the numbers now of how many folks are going to land in the portal.
I think yesterday over 1,100 FBS scholarship players and walk-ons. And here's the key to this. Walk-ons that played over 100 snaps. So those are contributors. Over 1,100 players went in stake. That would be enough for 12 college football teams. What shocked me yesterday, Steak, was somebody that I do trust told me that 63% of the players that were in the portal right now, 63% did not play a snap last year. And that tells you there's a lot of I would say not great decisions being made. You don't have tape. You know, you might have been a red shirt, and it's just a lot of different situations there. So I hope that these young men don't go in and find themselves, you know, empty-handed at the end of this month, because there's not even enough scholarships to go around, and you flood the market thinking you're, you know, more valuable than you kind of are, instead of, you know, staying where you are, keeping your feet where you are, competing and growing and see where you are. So We could go on the next 3 hours, man.
Well, Rusty, let's stop. Let's just stay right where you are, because 63% of those kids have somebody in their ear, whether it's a parent or an agent, telling them that they're better than they are, or look what can go over here. What is going on?
You know, I think it's a lot of you facing adversity for the first time. You know, you're a superstar in high school, and, you know, everybody tells you how good you are, and you go there, you don't play, and think, you know, I know a couple of kids that played 1 year of college football, and they quit. You know what I mean? They faced adversity for the first time. They're like, I'm not doing it, you know, and rightfully so, that's their right. But you know, I think a lot of it is you're facing adversity for the first time. You're not a superstar. You're four string. Nobody's kissing you. You know what, you know, they're cussing at you on the mic a little bit. And sometimes you either man up or you go somewhere else. Now all those places they're looking for. Sometimes kids are like, you know what, I'm at a bigger school. I may not can play here. I'll go down to another school and play. Some of those kids are making those decisions. But a lot of this stuff is the wrong people getting the wrong message to these kids.
And I think it is an important distinction. If a kid is in a program where maybe he's going to get snaps senior year if he stayed, or he's never going to rise above, and he says, I love the game of football, and I can play at, East Carolina, Tulane, insert mid-level program, good for them, right? And that's why we want to provide that for them. For kids that are playing in mid-level programs and said, I'm ready to take my game and have a chance to play professionally or get into a program like Tennessee or South Carolina or Michigan State. We understand that. So it's not like we're not shaking our head at, you know, the old guy saying this is the but given all that are good reasons to a degree, but not when it's four schools in 4 years and not when there's no stability whatsoever. I think the decision making part is really tough for these kids because it is hard. It's a hard decision to make. We all have a hard time with big decisions in life.
Yeah, you know, ironically, I heard Cam Newton talk about this last night on a podcast. I saw a clip. He said, look, guys, these kids thinking they're trying to make forever money. This isn't forever money. This is to make college comfortable, to get you a good head start on life and lay a foundation for that paycheck that will change your life. And I thought that was a good message from Cam Newton saying that. And you look at this whole deal. You take your example. I'll take a kid that I knew. It played at Grayson High School, high profile kid, Griffin Scoggs. He goes to Georgia a couple years ago. He stays there a year, and Griffin probably realized, you know what, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to play here. You know where he goes? He goes to App State. He's playing. He's having a good time. I watch him on social media. You know, that's a great program up in Boone, and he's getting an opportunity to play on Saturday. So, you know, there's decisions that made like that that you understand, but some of these kids that go in thinking that they're going to have 17 D1 offers. I had a kid yesterday reach out to me, not going to put his business out. He left the school, and I can tell you right now, he's got no prayer of going where he thinks he's going to go, but that's not my right to talk to him about it. I just said good luck to you, young man, but I knew when I got off the phone with him yesterday, man, that was not the right call for him. And he was going to transfer from a very small FCS school up to an SEC-type school. Not going to happen.
Quick couple of stories out of college football. Obviously, Branson Robinson entering the portal for Georgia. Are you surprised?
Not really. Kind of, you know, this kid's a talented player, just couldn't stay healthy. I think the emergence of Bo Walker, you know what I mean? I don't know that anybody else is going to leave, but when a freshman comes in and next thing you know, he's taking the ones and he didn't do anything to hurt himself on Saturday. I think everybody, that was the first time they got a chance to see him. I covered this young man at Cedar Grove High School, played on multiple state championship teams, got ruled ineligible by Georgia High School, appealed it a couple times on a move, basically set out last year, played some games up in North Carolina late, but he came to Georgia pissed off. This dude was ready to play. And Saturday, everybody saw, I know Nate Frazier's the headliner, he should be, but I'm telling you right now, Bo Walker, this kid's a freshman at Georgia. He's making noise right now, and that might not be the only player he puts in the portal at Georgia.
All right, Nico says bye. Josh Heupel says bye to Nico Iamaliava, right? And
Iamaliava.
And then UCLA looks like the landing spot?
Yeah, sounds like that. Certainly not going to be making the money. He probably could have made it Tennessee. And you know, I've just been real careful on this. I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard a lot of different things. I, you know, my opinion, I think his dad overplayed his cards a little bit. I think Tennessee offered him to pay a little bit more money. And then at some point, Tennessee said enough's enough. You know, and I heard some things yesterday about he started missing some meetings and some of the guys in the locker room. You know, Tennessee at some point drew the line and said enough is enough. We'll move on without you. But, again, here's a situation where, you know, no telling what who's in this kid's ear. I don't know if I've ever seen him interview. You know what I mean? I don't know if I've ever seen – you hear people yesterday, Colin Cowherd or somebody, L.A. Times, something had a quote from a source that wouldn't name who it was, you know. So I don't know until I hear that young man, him say it himself, but just not a great decision in my part. He's going to have to – in my opinion, he's going to have to lay low. He's going to have to play past this because if you don't think NFL teams – are going to look at that and go, well, who's in this kid's ear? And can we draft this guy to be the center of our franchise in the NFL? He's going to deal a lot with that down the line.
All right, 30 seconds left. Any portal stories that you're following or any big stories that will happen, I think, in the next, couple
it's
of days?
Daily. You know, kind of who goes in from Georgia? I do expect at some point Nitro Tuggle and Marquise Easley, the two kids that were at Georgia playing, both suspended indefinitely. I don't see them back. And I would imagine those two kids go in, and it doesn't seem like there's a ton of stuff that would hold them from other schools signing them. So we'll see. But right now, no, I would say craziness other than Nico. A lot of good players now, but we'll see how this thing unfolds. It's only day one.
Rusty, I got a question on Twitter from a Tennessee fan. Who are they getting out of the portal to play quarterback?
That's a damn good question. And they got some money to spend. So, I think Tennessee, no question, would be an attractive place. You just see what quarterbacks go in. A lot of buzz around Sam Leavitt at Arizona State. I have not seen him go in. That's just kind of been rumors. Mm. Now, the quarterback that went to UCLA from App State, what's he going to do if Nico comes? That's another really talented player that I was told got $1 million to leave App State. So he could possibly be a target there. Tennessee's going to have some targets, but I will say Jake Merklinger, kid out of Savannah. I think his mom and dad both went to Georgia. So this is a kid's very talented if they hand him the keys. But I think Tennessee's definitely going to try to bring in some depth, and they got some money to spend.
Thank you, sir. See you tomorrow. Rusty Rocks and plenty more. When we come back, belly up to the bar, among other things.
Lane Kiffin on a podcast. You will not want to miss it. It is a deep dive into his psyche. I think you'll enjoy it. It's the Steakhouse on a Thursday.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. If you're driving around the great city of Atlanta with 125,000-watt radio station, number one in the Southeast, incredible ratings I've seen. So we're just glad to be a part of all the action. And hope that you're enjoying the show today. We had Rusty Manziel on. We had Steve Holman on. Mikey was here. We don't need to go to, like, other outlets. We got all the stars right here.
Yeah, our roster is pretty impressive.
Our roster's loaded.
Our home roster.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. So
can we follow up on this? I know we have a special guest coming, but can I just discuss what we were discussing in the break?
Whatever you say.
Okay. Lee Corso has announced his retirement from game day this morning. That's the big news. And you heard Rusty kind of guesstimate on what you thought they would do. Well, the PR firm for ESPN has come forward to say that Lee will be on the set August 30th. That will be his final game day. And Alabama is playing at Florida State. They haven't announced it's that game, but you got to assume since Lee played at FSU. And I agree with Steak, like the cast of characters that's going to come through there. To honor him and be with him will be something special.
It will be must-see TV.
Mm-hmm.
It will be one of the great tributes in the history of our profession. Do you know how old he's going to be this summer?
Mm-mm.
He's going to be 90.
God bless you.
August 7th. 90.
And the nasties that got on the Twitters and the social and were mocking him and making fun of because it made you feel uncomfortable. Let's hope we all get to be that age and doing something we love and we're treated with such respect. Like when you, however you feel about Kirk Herbstreit, the way he treated Lee with such respect and love.
It was a beautiful thing.
We all need to remind ourselves, y'all.
To watch the way Kirk Herbstreit treated his father figure that was Lee Corso. I had the honor of having multiple dinners back in the day when we had 790. They were doing the Thursday games. It was Tirico, Herbstreit, and Corso. And they'd send them out for those Thursday night games. And Rudy Martsky, who wrote for USA Today, would get these dinners together because he knew that he went after Peg. God bless him. And and we'd go to the Palm, and Willie would host us. Mm-hmm. And those were just awesome memories that we had at dinner. And a total gentleman, class act as well. We're going to belly up in a second. Is our boy on the line here yet? I mean,
wow.
The show is an ensemble of different characters.
Right.
Now, Todd Graffanini is a close friend. I don't know why he hasn't called yet, because he's texting me. And I said, if you're going to harass me over text, call the show. Just do it on the air. So I don't even want to, like, he's got one of those contraptions that's going to make it sound like he's live.
Mm-hmm.
Fancy. But he has to check in already, right?
I gotcha.
And Bo's waiting for the call.
Okay. I just texted him again.
Just do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Sandra and I have an agenda. Like, to give you a couple of minutes means that we're going away from some other conversation. Now, in this case, it's probably taking away from talking about the Braves, who struck out 19 times.
I'm sick
times
of the Braves. We don't care about – here's what we're doing today. Braves, take a day off. I can't say anything else about you because all of it's not good. So you know that saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, you're a bad baseball team right now, and they didn't forget how to play ball, so let's go. I do want to talk. Do we have 2 seconds?
Yeah,
I want to
absolutely.
Ask you about something that Steve Holman said. Steve Holman was on earlier talking about the Hawks, and we were saying, like, all right, well, best case scenario, if they win, then what? And he started talking about Risa Shea. I have heard from people down with the Hawks behind the scenes. When they brag on somebody, it's how Zachary Risa Shea holds himself, treats other people, and I've heard that he is the first one in the building and the last one to leave many, many times.
One of the great things about taking him at number one is you don't have any of the worries of what, you know, what makes this kid tick, what are the foibles you may have to worry about, any of this stuff, a young player with a lot of money and all that. Dude, he's just a workhorse.
So for Steve to be on the road with him this whole season and see him develop, I think I thought that was really good. And you're right, to have those guys in a 6-game series.
Defense is so much different.
Mm-hmm.
The lockdown nature is night and day. I mean, regular season, I mean, you're playing 82 games. They're not locked in. Now you're in a do or die game. Can he get his shot? Can he get his look? I was talking about Dyson Daniels. I guess I should just hang up the microphone. Why should I even continue? Because I made a mistake, and I said Dyson Daniels has never been in a playoff game, and this frigging guy decides to hammer me that the voice of the Pelicans. I mean, do you have anything better to do than just harass me on text?
Well, Steak, my season's over, so no. I have nothing better to do.
So Dyson Daniels, let's make a correction. Let me apologize. Pelicans were in the playoffs last year?
Yes. Played Oklahoma City. Didn't go very well, but we were in the playoffs.
How did that go?
Not well at all.
4-0?
Didn't win a game.
You
don't have your best player that kind of puts a damper on things, but Dyson Daniels did make a playoff appearance.
You want to know?
A year ago.
Okay, you want to know why? He's,
I just want this show to be factually correct. I know
that's never happened before.
Yeah, I've never
that's a challenging thing.
I've never wanted that.
I want you to put out correct information.
I've never wanted that, and it never has happened. Here's the thing.
Hey, look, listen. I love listening to Steve Holman, but I got to disagree with him. The play-in is not the playoffs. Trust me, it's not.
It'll feel like a playoff game, do or die.
It feels like it, but it's not. Okay. You know why? Because you get a playoff bonus. You don't get a playoff bonus if you make a play-in.
Listen, when you do when you do 40 years of games, you can open your mouth. Listen.
Wow.
Hey, listen.
Woo, tough crowd.
The reason he's peppering me. It's because of Lent. You know, it's ending finally. Guy hasn't had a crust of bread, an alcoholic beverage, or fried food in how many days now?
It's 45.
And it
ends tomorrow.
It ends tomorrow, right?
I thought it was only 40 days. What do you mean 45? Do you get extra credit
Sundays,
points?
Sundays are technically part of it, Sandy, but they don't count Sundays.
So for you personally,
it's a little known
what is the first? What's the first drink and what's the first item you're going to eat after this 45-day sojourn?
Okay, I've been thinking about this for a while. the first drink I'm going to have is a Guinness. I'm going to have a nice Guinness. I'm going to just kind of sip it.
Great pour, yeah.
Because the tolerance is extremely low. At this point, steak. So I'm going to have a Guinness, sip that, and then we'll see what happens after that. The first, fried food, bread thing, I want a pizza really badly. I haven't had a pizza in so long, so I think I'm going to get a pizza tomorrow.
Is there a great pizza?
We'll see how that...
With Nola headed to New Orleans, is there a great pizza place in New Orleans?
They're not really. It's not a great pizza town. They have a few. Portnoy did a great job when he came here for the Super Bowl. Went to these different places around the area.
What was the number one?
About five of them.
Give me one of them. I know you're not a foodie. Do you have any names?
Not off the top of my head.
Bye-bye. We got to go. We're going to do... Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. Guy lives in New Orleans.
Just pizza shamed him so bad.
Sandra? Oh my God. Sandra, let me ask you a question. Do you have anybody you know that lives in a city their entire life that cannot name a local pizza shop?
That's a good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we're going to do Belly Up, but I wanted to get Graf on there.
Good, Lisa, good. Right? Wonderful.
But how do you live in a city your entire life and you... I know from Tulane, Mama Rosa's was a place. It was down on... down offside the court. Like, he's the worst foodie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my wife called him and it's like, hey, we're going to New Orleans. I'm going to call Graf about restaurant recommendations. I was like, what? What? Do not call him. Like, he is the antithesis of, like, New Orleans culinary, right?
I didn't realize that he...
It's hard to be friends with a guy like that.
I think he didn't want to say something and have you get upset because it wouldn't be good.
I think he was going to say like a chain or something.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense he was going to like order a chain tomorrow?
Well, he can't do that. Right. Yeah. Forbidden Pizza was given the best pizza in New Orleans from Dave Portnoy.
Okay.
A very high rate. I've never heard of that. Saint Pizza is the second.
Thank you, Sandra.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
There you go, Todd.
What's the most entertaining part of Belly Up when we come
Lane Kiffin was on Theo Vaughn's podcast talking about Nick Saban. It's great.
How much do you love Theo Vaughn, by the way?
He is so adorable.
My wife is in love with him.
Is she?
Kimberly literally sends me a Theo Vaughn Insta every day.
He's very sweet and adorable.
He's authentic and he is entertaining and he's got a lot going on. All right, we'll do that. We'll play three strikes. Why do I feel like pizza will be a part of the conversation in pizza?
And who hasn't eaten a chicken wing? Like, for Jim Palmer to say, I've never had a chicken wing.
Why don't we play that, too?
Okay.
Do you have a hometown pizza place in Panama City of any note? Was there one place you and your dad would go for pizza?
Not pizza, necessarily, but Santa Rosa's is on St. Thomas Square. It's pretty good. Santa Rosa's.
So somebody asked me, Brian Snicker said his favorite restaurant in America is that Sarasota restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the name of that place? Because remember Eddie Gonzalez who ran the tennis tournament here?
Yeah.
He's literally in Florida. I said, can you figure that out also?
Yes.
And then we got to do some sports stuff. Mike Conti said at some point sports has to come up. So I guess that'll happen too. Steak and Sandra, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hey, it's 10:41 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. That's Sandra Bo Johnson, who's flying solo this week. So next week, is Abe with us as a pseudo-producer and on the air and sitting here or not? You're shaking your head. I heard there's some, we're going to get some Abe next week, which is always, you know, he's, that guy's been on the air like 100 hours in the last few weeks, right?
Yeah.
Because of Bo and
everything. Is Bo taking like 6 weeks for paternity? 3 weeks? Good for him.
Okay. What is he working on over there? Are we not seeing, he's looking at the schedule, right? That's what he's doing.
Okay.
Listen, we can handle it with or without him. Some days we have four people on the show. Some people, it's just the three of us. I don't really care. I'm still going to sit here and do what we do. And, like, what's coming up is Three Strikes. What's coming up is Belly Up. What's also coming up is your Jim Palmer story, if we have that cut.
Yeah.
You want to make it part of Belly Up?
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's go.
What's happening? What's everyone talking about?
What is happening here?
We've got you covered.
As we belly up.
On the Steakhouse.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This past weekend is the name of the podcast with Theo Vaughn, who is adorable. And Lane Kiffin was on, y'all, for about 45 minutes. It is so good. I think you'll enjoy it today to even listen. His philosophy about his change of his mental state.
I want to hear
and
that.
Being comfortable, you moving to Ole Miss. It's really good.
Is he single?
Now that I look.
No. He's got back with his ex-wife. He doesn't mention it. But I do want to just set this up a little bit. They get into his pedigree of learning from his father. But he goes on and on about what he learned, how terrible he was when he first got with Saban, and what he really learned from him, and some of Saban's antics, which we heard about years ago from Kirby at the Ritz. Do you remember this? Kirby, like, he called where it's literally Christmas, and we're
terrorizing.
Yeah, there you go. Here's the first part of Lane.
Now that I look back, I'm like, okay, he was so strict on everything, kind of like in a parent way, like with his team, with the players, the coaches, like nothing changed. We won a national championship and there's 7:30 staff meeting the next morning. I'm like, what are we meeting on at 7:30 the next morning? He's like, we're behind. You know, because we won the championship, everybody else was recruiting and we're behind. And I was like, well, what are we? But now I look back and be like, that's why he is what he is. That's why he was so great. Because it was like the standard never changed no matter what.
So, have you heard of the relief syndrome, Steak, in your lifetime of what it is? In college football, I mean, I remember Saban talking about something called relief syndrome. And it's the syndrome of once you have like a big project or a big game or a big test, and once you kill it and you did great, our natural tendencies are to be like, oh, phew.
Absolutely. Well, how about anything in life?
Yeah.
You know? Where you worked so hard, we got over the hump.
Or even you're nervous for, you know, because they say being nervous is a good sign that you care so much. So this relief syndrome and what Lane learned from him.
Most people are born with a relief syndrome. He wasn't. He just always had this way of thinking like, hey, you never relax. Like, but most people are. So he went above and beyond to make sure people didn't have that. Like, we'd win a game and then he comes in and just like rips us.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, we played great. Like, coach, great. That was because he was guarding against that because he knew that that could happen.
What's it's why repeating is so difficult in every sport.
Yeah.
How do you maintain the same level of intensity and desire to get your first title and get your next one? So nobody repeats in any sport, and that's part of it. There is a natural letdown. You know, I'm sure sales folks have to guard against that, right? Organizations.
I just don't know that that's good for your brain, you guys. I feel like there is some sort of win.
I don't think ripping your team when you win the national title, which we heard that he did, like on numerous occasions, he went off after, like, okay, where's
and
the
making
joy
his coaches come in at 7:30 in the morning the next day after
where they've been partying online.
I think there's
other ways to go through life, but okay, they had the success. But
you got to celebrate the little wins and give yourself
Lane
some attagirls, y'all.
You know, we'll talk about podcasts and video. Everybody watches podcasts now. Lane Kiffin, dude, that man is he looks like a friggin' 50-year-old model.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he has done his work.
What is he doing?
Go listen to it if you're just kind of
yoga.
He is doing all things healthy.
Does he talk about it?
He talks about it. He talked about moving to Oxford, Mississippi, and he's like, man, because he came from L.A. He came from South Florida. Fast times, fast life.
Right.
And he was like,
I gotta hear
Oxford, and then... Y'all, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're going to love it. But I just think in general.
Right.
And he's being kind to himself, Steak. And I always say to you, like, live in the moment and, you know, get off the phone. Celebrate the wins. He is all about that. And you can see it in his
relaxed. Stop lecturing about the phone. I'm not on the phone.
I think everybody just needs to try a chicken wing. Let me set this up. Jim Palmer and Kevin Brown do the broadcast for the Orioles. And literally... midway through the game, they're just chitty chatty, and he says, "I never had a wing."
You know, I never had a wing, ever. What do you mean you've never had a wing? Never, ever had a wing. You've never had. Wait a minute.
No,
I'm just never have.
You've never had a chicken wing?
No.
Like,
why would I?
Why would
don't
you?
Don't they have skin and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of things have skin.
But I don't eat skin.
Apples have skin.
Why eat apples?
You've never had a single chicken wing?
No, never thought about having
it. That is staggering. So what kind of chicken do you eat?
White breast.
What about, like,
fried chicken?
You eat fried chicken?
Never had fried chicken.
Never?
Well, I've taken the crust off and...
What is this?
What is this?
So he's been eating like that for...
Ever.
50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
and
is
I
why
did, so he used to live in my husband's basement.
That's the wildest
Which is
story.
The craziest story. They're all from Baltimore, and Larry's dad met Jim Palmer out and about, and they exchanged stuff about real estate, and he goes, my house isn't ready. We have a basement. He lived in Larry's basement
so
for 3 to 4
he
months.
He needed somewhere to live
yeah.
while his house was being built, and Larry, Sandra's husband, Larry... Wax from Baltimore's dad said, move in with us.
Yeah.
So literally Jim Palmer in the 70s lived in your husband's house.
Yeah. The underwear That's model wild. Jim Palmer. I was like, lost my mind. And I did ask Larry on text, did he ever drink? Did he ever? Never. He was always very, Larry describes him as very uptight.
Yeah. He seems a little bit joyless.
Yeah. There you go. So
here's our three strikes question. The best pizza place from your hometown. The best pizza place from your hometown. I told Graf, it's amazing that we're not even, that we're buddies because you literally can name one pizza place from New Orleans. But that was a interview that I didn't see coming.
There you go.
The pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid. The pitcher you wish lived, I'd say Louis Tiant. You know who Louis Tiant was? The flamboyant right-handed starter for the Sox. I was 10 years old. I would love if he had lived. Or Dennis Eckersley as a kid.
Oh, hey, that's a good one.
X living in my basement.
Yep.
Hey, guys. X coming up for muffins. Who's? What do you mean? X living in the basement. Who's the pitcher you wish lived in your house as a Great. Kid? An extremely underrated college town. Extremely underrated.
Do not say Athens, please.
Please don't.
Right? Like,
don't
give
say,
us somewhere random.
Don't see Madison.
Yeah.
You could say Boone, where Appalachian State
perfect,
is, right?
Perfect.
I've heard
perfect.
Really good things about that. Don't say Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, don't say any of the big cities that the big universities
Just
are.
Be smart enough and know
be
how
clever.
To answer.
Be clever. There we go.
The best pizza place from your hometown, the pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid and underrated.
404-726-0929.
Give us a biz buzz, and we will take your calls. Now, when you ask a guy from Boston the best pizza place from your hometown, that is a loaded question.
So let's go more small Newton, suburbs of. So
well,
what you're from a small suburb, where are you going?
I mean,
neighborhood pizza.
Newton joint. Highlands House of Pizza.
There you go.
I love Greek pizza. If anything in New England was named House of Pizza, Melrose House of Pizza, Newton House of Pizza, Worcester,
right.
That means they're Greek.
Right.
I didn't know that till I got older. House of Pizza is a Greek, so I love Greek, greasier, thicker crust. Although, if you're flying to Boston, it's a battle between Centarpio's in East Boston, which is real near the airport,
okay.
Centarpio's, and Pizzeria Regina. The original in the North End.
Very
so,
nice.
So I tried to go there this summer with the kids, and there was this wicked line out the door.
Wicked line.
It was a wicked
line. Wicked line.
It was a wicked line
a wicked
out the door.
Wicked pizza place.
Yep. 404-726-0929. So pizza place from your hometown, picture you wish lived in your house as a kid.
That's funny.
An extremely underrated college town. I'm going to just talk about a couple of things as we fill up the phone lines. Tomorrow night, going to the game. I guess the Hawks will probably be a 2-point favorite, maybe something.
Let me look while you're talking.
I don't know if it's even out yet. See if there's a number on that game. Are the Hawks going to give us 10 days of basketball against the Cavs? Are we going to get in a number one seed? Are we going to be a 1-8 series and get, you know, Dyson and Risa Shea and Okongwu and Trey? Do we win the game again in the playoffs? I guess Hawks by 2. What is it?
Miami by 1. Miami okay. minus 1.
That's because of their win last night. They looked so good. They're up by 25. So the Hawks are an underdog at home. If I was a betting man, I just think the physicality of some of these Eastern teams were just not big enough right now. Capella's not playing. He's been done. I don't think he'll ever play again for the Hawks.
I like Steve's take, though, that they're really ticked off after the other night.
Yeah, I mean,
and how Trey got kind of beat up.
Yeah, they won't look like they did the other night. But, mm-hmm. you know, I would imagine the Vegas dollars will be heavy on Miami. Mm-hmm. Just the way you look at those two brands, Miami Heat culture. But Jimmy Butler's not there. Playoff Jimmy somewhere else. You are who you are. So look at the record they had all year, right? They were not a good basketball team. So, but I'd be scared if I was betting it. I'm not going to bet it. I'm going to go root for the Hawks, and I'm really going to pray that we get a whole.
And you are going to the game. Do you think that's a tough ticket or?
No, I don't think it's a tough
ticket. Okay, so everybody go down.
Minute.
It may be your
last
game.
Minute. Maybe Salsa will come on and pitch it tomorrow from the Hawks. All right?
All right.
Are we ready to take calls?
So what's your take?
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no.
It's time for you to sound off. With three strikes.
Trigger warning.
On the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, Alexis in Lithonia, what's the best pizza place from your hometown?
The Slice, Red Bank, New Jersey.
What's it called?
Mr. Pizza Slice. It's still there. I'm 59 years old. I've been going there since I was like 4 years old.
Mr. Pizza Slice. Give me a picture you wish lived in your house as a kid.
I'm a Jersey guy. Doc Gooden might be pretty fun back there in the 80s. Hang out with Doc and Daryl.
You would have had a blast. You'd have had a lot of sleepless nights.
A lot of... Touché. Extremely underrated college town.
You know something? Georgetown. You go to Georgetown.
Beautiful
that's
town.
A good one.
A lot of partying down there in Georgetown.
That's a beautiful town. Beautiful town.
Yep.
Marvin in a car. Marvin, the best pizza place from your hometown.
Got to stick with Nello Mushroom.
The pitcher you wish lived in your house as a kid.
Greg Maddux.
Extremely underrated college town.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
I think anytime we mention an SEC.
Marvin, you are a friend of mine. But don't mention the big SEC towns. Like, Knoxville is awesome.
Yeah,
and we talk about it all the time. Georgetown is perfect. You want to talk about a food city. So, all right. Sorry, Marvin. Can we
Bo.
Right?
Don't say it in my ear. Say it on the air.
Well, I don't want to interrupt anybody.
No, you're not interrupting.
That's what we do here.
Example of what y'all are looking for this.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah. Yes, please.
My wife's hometown.
That's right.
U of L makes up that entire city. There's so much great food and great energy. That's a great town.
The people in Lafayette
are awesome.
Per capita, best people in the world.
The cost of living there, too, is really, really a great city to move to. It is, and the restaurants, you're absolutely right.
New York Times did an entire travel section on Lafayette.
Is that right? Oh, cool.
Best place for Cajun food, best place for these Cajun brunches, 8 a.m. in the morning with the music and everything else. And
that's great.
So that's,
hey, shout out to Larry in a truck, one of our great, great listeners, who's back today working his gig. He was out for a long while and wrote to us. So, Larry, welcome back. We missed you.
Hey, Paul in Athens, you get the final word. Best pizza place from your hometown.
Yeah, DePalmas here in Athens.
Yeah, great spot. Pitcher,
what's the name of it? Say
DePalmas.
Oh, yeah.
Right there on the main, main drag. Pitcher you wish lived in your house.
Growing up in Atlanta, it'd have to be Phil Niekro.
Oh, he's the best. Extremely underrated college town.
You're going to hate this because it's a bigger city. Columbia, Missouri.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah,
I don't know much about it, but...
That's where the real journalists come from.
Journalists!
Hey, thanks, John Foy.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo. Sandy, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Rusty here tomorrow. Thanks for making the Steakhouse Party Day. Bye.